Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and it looks like I'm going to start off as a solo act today. If you'd like to be part of this, 646-478-3753 is the number to call. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so swing on by there, check out what's going on. You can catch up on anything you may have missed. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also find me on Twitter if you're looking for me. I am at Burke Time. That's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E if you want to check me out there. So let's see what is going on in the world of sports. And you know, as always, we'll jump in and start off with some baseball and run over the schedule tonight and have some fun there. So let me pull it up and we can actually go through it. You know, because obviously the big question where I live in the Chicago area is, will the Cubs actually find a way to win? I believe it's 10 in a row in the loss column, and they have Jake Arrieta rolling out. So I don't know how that's going to go. I don't believe he's been very good lately, but hey, you know, you never know, right? It's possible that he may pull out a great start tonight. So let's get a quick look at the schedule, or I probably shouldn't say quick, because you know I have a tendency to ramble on when I do these things. So, all right, we have the first game today at the top of the schedule here on the Mickey Mouse Network has the Milwaukee Brewers at the New York Mets. The Brewers are starting Brett Anderson, and the Mets are going with Jacob DeGrom. So there you go. You can check that out on ESPN. We have the Atlanta Braves at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Ian Anderson starts for Atlanta while Chad Kuhl gets the start for Pittsburgh. Toronto is at Baltimore, a little AL East action there. We have Steven Matz for the Blue Jays and Spencer Watkins for the Orioles. The Dodgers are in Miami to take on the Marlins. I believe they should get that game in. I believe they have a tropical storm in that area, but I believe it ended up going a little farther north of Miami, so hopefully they'll get this game in. Tony Gonsolin gets the start for the Dodgers, and Pablo Lopez is making the start for the Marlins. The Detroit Tigers are at the Texas Rangers. Jose Urena is starting for the Tigers, and Dane Dunning is making the start for the Rangers. I mentioned that there is a game in Chicago. The Phillies are at the Cubs. Philadelphia is starting Aaron Nolan, and I already mentioned the Cubs are going with Jake Arrieta. The other Chicago team, the White Sox, are in Minnesota. You'll see Carlos Rodon make the start for the White Sox, and Jose Berrios is going to be the Twins starter in that game. If you have the ESPN Plus app, you can watch the Cincinnati Reds at the Kansas City Royals on that. Luis Castillo is starting for the Reds, and Chris Bubic makes the start for the Royals, or is it Bubic? I don't know, whatever way it's fun to say. The top two teams in the AL West go at it tonight. The Oakland A's at the Houston Astros. Chris Bassett starts for the A's, and Framber Valdez is making the start for the Astros. The AL East leading Boston Red Sox are out in California to take on the Los Angeles Angels. Nathan Eovaldi makes the start for the Red Sox, and here we go. It's a Shohei Ohtani night for the Angels, so you know what we're going to be talking about. Nothing but Ohtani tomorrow. Even though he was really bad in his last start, I actually heard somebody try to write that off, but he was terrible. We have the Colorado Rockies at the Arizona Diamondbacks, the two bottom teams in the NL West. John Gray makes the start for Colorado, and Merrill Kelly is starting for Arizona. The St. Louis Cardinals are at the San Francisco Giants. Adam Wainwright is starting for St. Louis, and Johnny Cueto gets the start for the Giants. The New York Yankees are at the Seattle Mariners. That is the second game on ESPN tonight. Jameson Taillon makes the start for the Yankees, and Justice Sheffield will be starting for the Mariners. And the final game has the Washington Nationals at the San Diego Padres. The Nationals actually haven't announced the starting pitcher. It is undecided right now. And the Padres are going with Ryan Weathers. We did have one cancellation earlier, and I mentioned the situation in Florida with the tropical storm. The Cleveland Indians were scheduled to play the Tampa Bay Rays. That game was postponed very early because of what is going on down there, and no real surprise there. I didn't hear a makeup date announced. Maybe they'll try to get it in tomorrow. We'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. So, and then we did actually have a trade today. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Toronto Blue Jays got together on a trade. The Brewers are going to acquire Rowdy Tellez, the Blue Jays first baseman. Now, if you know, Dan Vogelbach is, I believe, what did he? He's on the IL with a hamstring injury. And Tellez really has been kind of bouncing back and forth for the Blue Jays. So he's not getting any regular time. He's been kind of floating back and forth between AAA and actually the big club. He's appeared in 50 games for the Blue Jays. He does have four home runs, but he's only hitting .209. Last year when he saw a little more regular playing time, he did hit better. He hit .283 in 35 games last year. And did hit eight home runs. In 2019, he played in 111 games and hit 21 home runs, but did only hit .227. So he'll be a nice solid fill-in while Vogelbach is out. He's also left-handed, just like Vogelbach. So we'll see how that worked out. And obviously, you know, with the move of, you know, Vladdy Jr. over to first base, the signing of George Springer, and the fact that the Blue Jays already have Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Teoscar Hernandez, and Randall Grichuk as outfielders as well, there really just wasn't a spot for Tellez. So, you know, this makes, you know, well, good sense for Tellez. It'll give him the opportunity to hopefully, you know, get some more playing time, and especially right now with Vogelbach out. Now, in return, the Blue Jays get Trevor Richards. You may remember him. He spent some time in Miami and Tampa Bay before Milwaukee picked him up. And I'm trying to remember. Let me double check here. Did they pick him up in that trade earlier this year? Yeah. He was part of the Willie Adames trade. He actually pitched really well for Milwaukee. He was 3-0 with a 3.20 ERA and 15 relief appearances. He hasn't been a regular starter since back in 2019 with Miami. So he's been in the bullpen for quite a while. So he could possibly be a pretty positive addition to that Blue Jays bullpen that has been banged up. The Blue Jays also receive Bowden Francis. He's a 25-year-old minor leaguer who was pitching in AA Nashville for Milwaukee. Now he's been a starter. He actually started the year at AA South, and then he was moved up to AAA East. He made seven starts at AAA, where he went 4-2 with a 3.49 ERA. So you do wonder if, you know, my guess probably isn't this year, but maybe at some point we see this guy with a chance to make the Blue Jays rotation. You know, I haven't heard much, so I don't know if he's a top guy or not, but, you know, possibly an opportunity, even if he's just a back-of-the-rotation guy, that could be another, you know, really, really solid add for them. You know, they are kind of looking for guys behind Hyunjin Ryu. You know, Robbie Ray has done fairly well. You know, and Steven Motz was doing okay until he got dinged up. So, you know, we'll you know, he's pitching tonight. I did mention that. So we'll see how, you know, how this works out. And, again, I don't know. Maybe we'll see him as a September call-up, even though I know those have been limited. But, you know, maybe somewhere down the road this you know, this works out for, you know, for the Blue Jays and actually turns into a pretty good deal. And again, you know, for a guy like Tellez, it's an opportunity to go someplace and actually play. And, you know, that's never a bad thing. You know, let's see. I'm looking at the rest of the Blue Jays rotation. You know, Ross Stripling and, of course, the rookie Alex Manoa round that out. You do wonder if or what we're ever going to see out of Nate Pearson, who, you know, allegedly has all the tools, but for the life of anybody just hasn't been able to stay healthy. You know, he made one start and lasted 2 1/3 innings this year before ending up on the IL. So you just kind of wonder if or what his future is, and, well, you know, kind of a wait and see period with that. But then we did have another. Well, I don't believe it's been made official yet. Let me double check. Yeah, the Rays, who of course didn't get to play today, it's being reported that they're going to call up another very well-regarded prospect. Now, you know, we've seen Wander Franco finally show up. He's been the number one prospect for the last couple years. Taylor Walls was brought up earlier, and now it's being reported that another one of their higher-rated prospects, Vidal Brujan, or maybe Brujan, he's been at AAA for them this year. He's appeared in 49 games. He's hitting .259, but he does have 9 homers, along with 11 doubles. So he's, you know, he's shown some power down there. They do have him listed as an infielder, but he has spent more time in the outfield this year. You know, and there have been reports that they were going to shut down Manuel Margot. I don't know if it was due to injury or just possibly, you know, yeah, it looks like, yeah, he's got an injury, another hamstring. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. So Brujan or Brujan or however you want to throw it out there, looks like he could come up and get an opportunity to play. So we'll, and they have it pronounced here as Brujan. So hopefully that's the correct pronunciation. He actually, now this is pretty high praise here. His skills have been compared to Ozzie Albies and Ketel Marte. So, you know, and he is a switch hitter, you know, and with the ability to play up the middle and in the outfield, that allows Tampa to have a lot of versatility. And, you know, they've always been, you know, really good with doing that with their players. So this, you know, this could be another guy who has a really good opportunity to come up and succeed. Again, I don't know a ton about him, so I don't know if it would be a fantastic, you know, go down, get this guy for your fantasy league. But to be fair, you know, Walls and Franco have had their issues. You know, Walls has appeared in 29 games, is hitting .221. Franco has appeared in 12 games and is hitting .229. So they're still kind of getting their feet wet. But, you know, again, they're both an upgrade over Adames, who, while is doing great in Milwaukee, was really kind of scuffling at Tampa Bay, hitting .197. You know, the Rays are trying to find a way to get some momentum on the Red Sox, who have kind of pulled ahead now. You know, they're, what are they, about 5.5 games ahead in the standings. So, you know, maybe one of these young guys, give them a spark. So, definitely check out Vidal Bruján and see if maybe he's a fit for your team somewhere. So you never kind of know how these things will work out. So I did humorously see a very interesting report that apparently the White Sox are interested in maybe acquiring Trevor Story. They do need some help at second base, as you know, Nick Mandrigal is hurt and is done for the season. There was a lot of talk that they were talking to, in talks with the Diamondbacks about acquiring either Ketel Marte, where it's been reported that he will not be traded, or possibly Eduardo Escobar. But nothing's came of that. You do wonder if they did acquire Story, would he go to second base and Tim Anderson would stay at short, or would Anderson make that move? Either way, if they acquired a guy like Story, that's a gigantic bat to throw into that lineup. So, we'll have to see if anything comes of this, or it's just talk. But, the White Sox do have some pretty good prospects. And, of course, the Rockies aren't contenders. They're kind of scuffling along. They moved Nolan Arenado along. And, Story being in the last year of his deal, it would be a big surprise if he would decide to go back to Colorado with what they have going on there. I mean, they look like they're in much more of a rebuild situation than they would be into adding on or re-signing a guy like that. They're 37-48, 16.5 games behind the Giants. If it weren't for Arizona, obviously they would be, in that cellar there. So we'll have to kind of wait and see how if there's legs to this, or if this was just something somebody kind of threw out there and said, hey, let's see if this sticks. Because you do manage to get a lot of that this time of year as we roll up on the trade deadline. So we'll just have to wait and see how that plays out. But, and then if you're like me and you really haven't been paying attention, believe it or not, the NBA finals start tonight. Yeah, I know it's July and the finals are just starting, but this is the NBA, and at this point, nobody really cares. And I'm sure the NBA themselves is probably relatively devastated with the matchup they got, because, they like to have the LA, Boston, New York, the big city teams in the finals. And they unfortunately ended up with the Milwaukee Bucks at the Phoenix Suns. And while these are obviously two very good teams, Giannis is a multiple-time MVP winner. Devin Booker is really coming to his own in this year's playoffs. And, Chris Paul has been fantastic. And, I know I saw a lot of people are selecting him to win the MVP of this series. So, you do have that going on, but it's not the marquee guy. They wanted the LeBron, or they wanted to be able to talk about the history of Boston or New York, or I'm sure they would have even taken the Clippers, because it would have been LA and they could have portrayed that as something important. It's to the point where I'm really happy that it's these two teams, because I would prefer the new blood. And it also kind of helps me get over the fact that I've been convinced for quite a long time that the NBA is fixed. So it's nice to see two teams that you weren't expecting get in. The negative, of course, is even if these teams put on barn burners and have the greatest, seven-game NBA series of all time, unfortunately, nobody's going to watch it, and the NBA doesn't know how to promote it. But if you are a betting person, I was going to say man, but you could be a woman or whatever gender you align with. I don't want to get into that. The Suns are the favorite And Chris Paul is the current favorite right now to win MVP. So, you know, if you're going to put some money down and you're betting on the favorites, you know, you could definitely go there. You know, I did see that Giannis Antetokounmpo has been upgraded to questionable for tonight's game. Remember, he hyperextended a knee in the Eastern Conference Finals in Game 4 against the Atlanta Hawks. So, you know, if you want to, you know, check on that or see how that goes, you know, it's possible that he could be we could see him in a, you know, in the NBA, you know, in the finals tonight. So check that out. But yeah, you know, like I mentioned, Chris Paul is the, or no, actually here, the one I'm looking at now has Devin Booker as the favorite, but this is definitely older because they have Trae Young listed and he's not in the NBA finals. So let's see if I can get a little more current one and see if it'll tell me where the money's going. Let's see what we got here. This one says 5 hours ago. That sounds like a good deal. And yes, Chris Paul is currently the money favorite. Devin Booker is behind him. Then we get Giannis, no surprise there, if he's going to play. Chris Middleton comes in, then Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton. And if you really want to throw some money out there, how about Brooke Lopez at plus 6,666? So if you think Brooke is going to come through, that would be a big winner for you. You know, I mean, honestly, you know, and I don't gamble. You know, I don't know much about the NBA, but I would love to see a guy like Devin Booker pick up the MVP award. I think that would be really cool. So who knows? Maybe he'll find a way to get a win there, or maybe it will be maybe it will be Chris Paul. He is the sentimental favorite, and you know, there were a lot of players who were very happy to see him end up in the finals for, believe it or not, the first time in his, I believe it's 16 or 17 year career. So we'll we'll see how that works out. And you know, if you've got a pick, you know, feel free to let me know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and you know, let me know who you're going with. But I think I would like to see the Suns win this, even though I do live pretty close to Milwaukee and I'm not a hater of the Bucks or anything like that. So we'll see. But of course, the other thing we have going on are the NHL finals. Montreal found a way to stay alive last night. They picked up a win in what was Game 4. Otherwise, they actually would have just been swept out of the series. But they picked up a big overtime win, and I forgot the score, so I'm looking it up, and I will tell you when my internet decides to catch up with me and pops up here. But of course, it likes to run like crap when I need it to run. But we do have Game 5 tomorrow night, so you can check that out. And Montreal won 3-2 in overtime last night to pick up their first win of the series. You know, I know Tampa Bay was a predominant favorite, so it's nice to see Montreal win a game. And, you know, maybe this gives them a little momentum and they can find a way to, you know, to pick up a game five, or, you know, maybe I want to say, you know, make it competitive. You know, would that help? I don't know. We'll have to, see how it goes. But let's see. Oh, Josh Anderson scored the goal for Montreal in overtime last night. He was assisted by Cole Caulfield. So, you know, just in case you were wondering, you know, I know there are hockey fans out here, and I do very much enjoy the game. So it was actually Anderson's second goal of the night. So he was, he was Montreal's big-time offensive weapon. What was it? Romanoff had the other one for Montreal. Let's see who had the two Tampa goals. Goodrow picked up one, and Maroon had the second one there, if you were just interested in who scored. So, yeah, you know, again, we'll see how Game 5 goes tomorrow night, if we get an end to the series and Tampa Bay picks up the Stanley Cup again, or if Montreal can find a way to extend the series and possibly make a gigantic comeback from down, you know, 3-0. So yeah, we'll have to see. And I did find it interesting that this is actually kind of what the Tampa Bay mayor wanted. They were talking about, or I believe it's a female. I want to say she was talking about. Yeah, the Tampa Bay mayor is Jane Castor, by the way, and she actually said that she would like is for the Lightning to take it a little bit easy, to give the Canadians just the smallest break, and allow them to win one at home, and then bring it back to where Tampa Bay plays, the Amelia Arena, for the final and win the Stanley Cup. So, yeah, that's so it's kind of interesting that, you know, obviously she wasn't rooting for Tampa Bay to lose, but, you know, it makes perfect sense for her to want them to come back and win in Tampa Bay. You know, you can't blame her for that. So we won't, I won't hold it against her. I know there were some, you know, some sports fans out there that were just, you know, just destroying her for making that statement. But, you know, it is what it is. And you know how people get with these things. So it's, you know, it's just kind of get ridiculous. But, you know, it'll be fine. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, it just one of those things. So I don't know how they'll react to it or what's going to go on, but you know maybe if she's there she'll get booed or you know whatever they'll end up doing or you know just one of those fun things. So. You know, I just kind of can't, this is one of those things I just can't deal with, you know, just it, you know, and again, like I said, I don't have an issue with her wanting them to win the Stanley Cup in Tampa, you know, I mean, it kind of, you know, it's okay, but, you know, and again, I know I'm kind of stumbling all over the place here because I'm just trying to figure out how to word it out, but, you know, just got to be cool and, you know, obviously, wouldn't you rather, if you're in Tampa Bay and you're a fan of the Lightning, wouldn't you rather have them win it there? So, you know, we'll just see. We did have some, I don't know if I want to call it interesting NFL news, but I did see that N'Keal Harry, who is a former number one draft pick of the Patriots, his agent has actually requested a trade from New England. Now, you know, New England added quite a bit of fire, well, I guess we'll call it firepower in the off season. You know, they added Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne at wide receiver. They also added two tight ends, and I'm drawing a blank. I know one was Hunter Henry, and Jonnu Smith was the other one. They do still have Jacoby Myers on the roster, who led the Patriots in receptions and yardage last year with a 59 and 729. So you do got to kind of wonder there was a spot for Harry on the roster or what they would, you know, what his role would be. So maybe a trade is the best thing. Now he was the 32nd pick in the draft. I honestly don't think the Patriots are going to get a whole bunch for him because let's face it. He hasn't been great. You know, he was brought in with what they were hoping for was a lot of promise and, you know, it just didn't work out. He is coming off what you would consider his best season, but that best season is 33 receptions for 309 yards and two TDs. You know, in his career, he only has 45 receptions and four touchdowns. So, it never really worked out for him in New England. But again, you know, maybe he can go someplace else and you know, have some success. So we'll just going to have to kind of wait and see if they can find a home or a trade partner for him and, you know, see how it goes. But again, I would be shocked if they could get more than a fifth or maybe even sixth round pick for him at this point. I just don't know if there's a lot of value out there. You know, and then in some other Patriot news, they did ink Mac Jones to his rookie contract. You know, when you're a rookie, you get a guaranteed four-year deal with the option for the fifth year. What do they have here? Four-year pack. The option year is actually worth $15.6 million, and he gets a signing bonus of $8.7 million. So not bad. I think he'll be okay. You know, he is going to go in to see if he can beat out Cam Newton for the starting spot. We'll have to see how that plays out. But, yeah, just one of those things. But, all right, as you know, I guess I ended up by myself. So I am going to roll out of here. I honestly don't know what happened to Dan or when he'll be back. But, you know the deal here. If you listen to me live, well, thanks. I appreciate that. Please jump on Twitter and follow me or look me up. I'm at BurkTime. That's BURKETIME. You know the deal. If you did miss out, head on over to TuneIn.com, and you can listen anytime you want. That's the great part about going over there. You know, the blog will pop up tomorrow at SportsTimeRadio.com. You can use the link there to get to the Facebook page. So head on over there and check that out. And I'm going to play some music and go away. Hopefully I'll talk to you with Dan tomorrow.